Good evening. Welcome to shareenjoyment.com on this wonderful Monday evening, Chol HaMoed Sukkot, Shnas Tov Shin Pei Dalet. Baruch Hashem, we've made it. Shachrianu, v'kimonu, v'gvinu, l'zman hazeh. Baruch Hashem, 2 days into Sukkot, so we're 3 days into Sukkot now, and counting tonight, it's 4 days into Sukkot, 2 complete days of Yom Tov and the Chol HaMoed. And now we come to the fourth night of Sukkot, the Ushpizin of Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and after Yaakov comes, according to some opinions, Moshe, according to other opinions, comes Yosef. We want to begin, of course, by dedicating the Shir L'Zecher U'Li'i Nishmas Manish Yitzchak Ben Aryeh. May his Neshama have an Aliyah. I want to thank the sponsor for their generosity. I want to give a shout out to Jake Weinman for his tireless efforts, excitement, and passion for shareenjoyment.com, and including the other incredible people who make this possible, especially Mitch Green for his devotion and his awesome technical expertise. He's in the process of upgrading the website and making numerous enhancements to shareenjoyment.com in all of its facets and intricate details. With that, let us begin. Let us learn tonight an idea relating to Sukkot, the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Let me share with you a short idea, a very straightforward, simple idea from the Yom Tov. On Sukkot, we have two mitzvahs, two major, major mitzvahs. Really, what makes Sukkot unique makes it different than all of the other Moadim in that there are two mitzvahs, not one mitzvah. Pesach, the Iker mitzvah Pesach is eating matzah. Okay, we make a seder, we make an elaborate seder surrounding the mitzvah of eating matzah. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, there would be a chiyuv of a Karban Pesach and a Moror as well. But today we have one mitzvah, the rice of matzah. Shavuot, we, to a degree, don't have any mitzvahs in our day. It's in time of the Beis HaMikdash to be brought the Shtei HaLechem, a special carbon. We commemorate Zman Matan Tarasenu. That's not even in the Torah openly. It's only Beremez. We know through the calculation that it's Zman of Matan Torah. Okay, Rashan is Yom Hadin, Bublo Shofar, Yom Kippur, V'inismes Nafshos Beichem. Yet, when it comes to Sukkot, the Torah gave us quite a bit. Quite a load. A mitzvah of sukkah, to build and live in a sukkah, and the mitzvah of taking the lulav and esrei, the dalad minam, not just the lulav and the esrei, the hadassah and the arevos, ulekachtem lechem b'varishin priyitzada, kapis t'manva anaf eitzavos, usimachtem, and to rejoice. Simcha is a general mitzvah which really goes through all of the Moadim. But we have two major league mitzvahs d'oraisa to live in a sukkah. L'man yedu d'resechem ki basukkah soshavti es b'nei Yisrael. And we also have a mitzvah to take the 4 minim, the 4 items that are specified in the Torah. Biblically, it's only a mitzvah for us today on the first day, but yet it's a biblical mitzvah. This year was Shabbos, it's a little bit different. 2 mitzvahs, and by rabbinic enactment, we observe the mitzvah of Dalad Minim throughout the entire week, 7 days. Each mitzvah in and of itself has many, many halachos, many details, and there's a lot to keep one busy just by delving into one of the 2 major mitzvahs. But yet the Torah went full throttle and demanded that we observe these 2 mitzvahs. And in fact, there is a custom. Many have this custom, not all, but it's a pretty popular custom by different groups, different families, the tradition, to combine the 2 mitzvahs. And that means that some people, they go out of their way to make the blessing on the taking of the dalid minim, what we call the lulav and the esrei, with the hadassah and the aravos, in the sukkah. You go into the sukkah to make the bracha. There are some people that early in the morning before davening, they go into the sukkah, they take the woven eshrog, they make the bracha. There are others that, there are certain many shuls that before they recite halal, they give the people in the shul a short break to go into the sukkah to make a bracha in the sukkah before we recite halal. Because many people, when they come to shul, they have not yet made the bracha on the wool and the esrog, and they are given a chance to go into the shul sukkah, if the shul has a sukkah, to make this bracha. And there are different customs. I've seen some shuls. They give quite a significant break. People can go into the sukkah, make the bracha. It's a very beautiful custom. There has to be a connection. It can't be an accident, a coincidence, that on the sukkahs we have two mitzvahs and they have nothing in common. It cannot possibly be. So let us suggest a very simple idea to bring the two mitzvahs together. If we study the mitzvahs, we come across a very obvious difference between these two mitzvahs, sukkah and the dalet minhag. And the difference is really to an extreme, a 180-degree extreme between the two mitzvahs in one specific dimension. What am I referring to? Let's explain it like this. When it comes to a sukkah, what is the material that we use as schach? The Gemara makes a drasha to teach us that the schach has to come from what is called psoiles. It comes from leftovers. Psoiles goyren v'yekev. The leftovers of the silo and the wine press. We don't cover our roof with fruit, with grain, vegetables. We cover it with the leftovers, the psoiles. Psoiles means the byproduct. After you harvest the grain and the stalks of grain, and you separate the kernel from the chaff, and you're left with straw, we take the straw and we use the straw for schach. The wine press, we don't cover our sukkah with grapes, with a liquid, with bottles of wine. We take the leftover leaves, branches that are byproducts, leftovers from the process of harvesting the grapes. And by extension, today everyone's familiar, we use flats, bamboo, pieces of, small little piece of bamboo that's been cut, fashioned into mats, and evergreens, and all these different types of branches. We've been very creative throughout our history of using different products for schach, but the common denominator of every kosher schach is it is in the category of a byproduct. It's not a primary object that is used for our living conditions. It is a byproduct that is selected and it is fashioned in a makeshift way to use as shelter from the elements, from the heat, from the rain, from the outdoor living conditions. Soilless, something that is insignificant. Furthermore, look at the walls of the sukkah. You can use anything you want for a wall, that is the halacha. But how many walls do you need? You don't need for a sukkah more than two walls that are very minimal, seven tefachim, and a tefach, the width of one's hand, four fingers. And that's your home for 7 days. And in fact, the walls don't have to reach the ceiling. As long as the walls reach 10 tefachim, which comes up to not higher than your waist, it's good enough. And if there are gaps, it's okay, as long as the gaps are less than 3 tefachim. And if you have on the schach some non-kosher schach along the edge, It's okay. Doifen akuma. There are some rabbis that take pride in constructing a sukkah that is kosher, combining the barest minimum that one can possibly need to make a sukkah kosher. And there are examples of this, even what would appear to be in the Gemara, of sukkahs that are kosher. They are 100% kosher using incredible legal loopholes. And there's no problem. It's almost ideal. It's almost a beauty to go and somehow construct a sukkah that's kosher using all of the legal principles that are available to us in the study of the halachas of sukkah to make a kosher sukkah. So let's keep this in mind. The material that is used for the schach, that's the most important part of the sukkah, is psoiles. It's an inferior product. It's secondary. It's leftovers. It is a byproduct. The walls, it's fine if you have only two walls and a tefach, and the walls don't reach more than go to your waist, and in the walls there are gaps that are less than three tefachim, and if you have non-kosher schach as long as it's up against the wall, it's also kosher. Okay, you have to be careful. You know, you have to be careful. Don't go too far. You have to know the halachas, but I think we get the idea is that standards of what make a kosher sukkah are very, very low. And in fact, some people actually have pride in putting together such a sukkah like this. If you ever see some of the children who learn Masechta Sukkah, they'll come home with a book or come home with some arts and crafts project of showing you all the various types of sukkahs that they learn about in the Mishnayos. And when you give a look at these examples, I don't think anyone would want to actually use one of these examples as their ideal sukkah for the Yom Tov of sukkahs. But that's the halacha. It's kosher, and that's part of the Torah. Now let's look at the mitzvah of the Dalid Minim. We know it says in the Pasuk, V'lakachtem lechem b'yom harishon, you shall take for yourself on the first day, a pre-Eitz Hadar, a fruit that is exquisite, that is beautiful. And I'm sure many people have seen some people who are very excited and passionate about their Esrog and Lulav and Hadassim and Aravos, and they will spend enormous amounts of money and time, which is more precious than money, to go to different stores, different locations, to seek out the best possible Esrog with absolutely no blemish, clean, no blettles and no spots, not this color, not that color, and the gidol, its shape and form should be perfect, beautiful, with a pitum, without a pitum, and the ukits should be symmetrical with pitum, blitois, no tolerance for anything other than utter perfection. Likewise, the lulav, a perfect lulav, thick, tall, green, the center leaf should be hermetically sealed under a microscope. And then hadassim, today they sell hadassim individually wrapped. Each one has been checked numerous times. It should be mishulash. The aravos have its unique elements, to which many are mahader, they spend time, effort, and a lot of money perfecting. So look at that. When it comes to the Dalid Minim, the Lulav and the Esrog, we seek perfection. There is no room whatsoever for any defect. The goal is perfection, exquisite beauty with every possible added advantage, hidur, in the lineage of the Asherot, in the form of the Asherot, the color of the Asherot, the cleanliness, and likewise for the other minim as well. So look at the difference between these two mitzvahs. Sukkah, the mitzvah of Sukkah, a zecher l'anani hakavod, or the sukkos mamish, the Torah says, pesoiles, the words of the Gemara are, you use for the schach, the pesoiles, goyren the yakev, inferior objects. When it comes to the Dalet Minim, the goal is utter perfection, nothing less, exquisite beauty. The sukkah is soilless, and the lulav and eshug is hador. What's going on? And to make matters more complicated, it's the custom, as we've said by some people, to make the bracha on the lulav and eshug in the sukkah, to enter the sukkah and bring the two together. How could you bring together the lulav and eshug with the sukkah? They're complete opposites. One is yoifi and one is psoilus. And the answer is, it's exactly the point. The sukkah is our environment. We walk into the sukkah with our boots, with the mud on our boots. We enter into an abode, into an environment. And we have to understand that in life, the environment that we find ourselves is not always our choice. We are now living in Golus. We were born into Golus. We're living in Golus. I would imagine everyone in the Shir is mostly in America. It's not everyone in America. This is not where we belong. We belong in Eretz Yisrael. Why are we here? Circumstance, due to circumstance. It's not something that we have chosen, but this is the way life is. And just as we find ourselves in an environment of Golos, not every time there are different types of environments. There is a physical environment. There are situations in life. There are all different types of surroundings, whether it's our frame of mind, things that bother us, a physical location, a situation that we are in, that we are currently in, which is not ideal, what we would really want. But that's life. That's life. Everyone understands this. Everyone knows this. Person sometimes has to be in a certain place over Yontif. It's not where he wants to be. Over Shabbos, he has to be in a hospital, visiting, attending, or Rachmana Litzlan, he himself needs to be. Is that the type of Shabbos you want to spend? Is that the type of way you want to spend Yontif? Sometimes we can't afford things in life, and we have to settle for a lot less. Is that what we really would prefer? Certainly not. But unfortunately, that's the way Hashem, or maybe fortunately, whatever it is, this is the way Hashem made it, and this is what we have, and we have to be thankful for what we have. And along comes the mitzvah of lulav and eshrog to teach us that no matter what environment you find yourself in, even if you find yourself in a matzav, in a situation, an environment of pesoiles, yet whatever is in your control, take in your possession, in your hands, an object of beauty. Your hands represent your contribution. The old expression, it's a cliche, from lemons, make lemonade. That's really what this, the combination of these two mitzvahs are all about. We enter the sukkah, a mokoim, a matzav, an environment of psoilas. But in that matzav of psoilas, it is our duty to take into our possession with our hands to produce, to lift up a pre-8 Hodor, an object of beauty, the product of our labor, should be exquisite. Don't make excuses. What do you ask from me? I'm in an environment of psoilus. I only have two walls with a tefach, and the walls have gaping holes. No, that's exactly what the Torah says. Basukos Sashavti Eschem, I took you out in booth. I took you into the desert. And in the desert, look what you did for me. Lechtech acharai bamidbar bi'eretz lezeruah. And you served Hashem with emunah. You accepted the Torah. You built Hashem the most beautiful mishkan. You gave from your best to produce a dwelling place for Hashem. The lulav and the esrog that you take in your hands is symbolic of the product of your labor, which should be exquisitely beautiful, despite the reality that you are living in an environment, in a situation that is not ideal, that is psoilus. Don't let that affect you. Ignore that situation. Lift yourself up higher to be mahader with beauty in your efforts and your service of Hashem. Perhaps this is a lesson we can take away from Sukkot when we acknowledge the two mitzvahs of Sukkot and Dalet Minim and notice the difference between them. May we be inspired by the beautiful Esrog to take that lesson with us the entire year, to be mahader in our service of Hashem and witness Mirtz Hashem through this, that even our environment will be a beautiful environment, more conducive to serve Hashem with even greater beauty and hidur. Thank you very much for listening, Rabbi Isai. May you all have a wonderful, wonderful, joyous festival. Rehoyisa ach soneach, who coming soon. The Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. And Rabbi Mayevsky is a very big fan of the Abarbanel. He's a very famous Abarbanel. And he tells us that when it says in the Pasuk, Shmini Atzeres Rehoyisa ach soneach, it doesn't mean simply a command where Hashem is demanding, you shall be happy, you shall rejoice. The Abarbanel understands the Pasuk of Rehoyisa ach soneach to be a promise from Hashem. Hashem says, if you do what you're supposed to do, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, you do the mitzvahs, you do what you're commanded to do. The final send-off at the end of Shmini Atzeres in the Torah are the words, V'hoyisa, Hashem is sending us a promise. You've done yours, now it's my turn. I will do mine. You will be, ach, only joyous. The year ahead of you will be a year of pure joy where you will achieve all of your desires and your prayers will be answered. You will merit kol asher, everything which your heart desires, what you pray for, whether it be those who need good health, parnasa, and we live in a world where shaduchim is a very critical need for young people, and the Mirtz Hashem, it will be a year of Ach Sameach. Thank you very much for listening, for coming. Enjoy the Yontif. Enjoy your week. Best wishes to one and all. Good Yontif.